Who are you calling a nice girl?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Not So Nice Girl. I am your host and recovering nice girl, Natalie Volpicelli, and my friends, we have a lot of catching up to do. Last week, I took a break because I, as I do almost every after Christmas, I got sick, and I wanted to save you guys all from listening to my sick voice talk. There's still a little bit, I'm not even gonna lie to you. So apologies if I have the sniffles. I will do my best to rein it in. But like I said, we have a lot to keep to catch up with because me getting sick did not keep me from, for those of you who maybe don't follow my personal Instagram, you may already know, but from getting engaged. Woo! Silent screams! Don't want to be too loud in your ear. I got engaged last week, which was so wonderful, and we got to surprise my mom, which was awesome. That was something that was so important to my dad, that like it was, this moment isn't just about me, it's about my mom as well. I mean, she's truly like our everything, especially right now. So surprising her was the most incredible thing. I'll have to share the video. It was just so beautiful. But that kind of leads me into this week's topic. And I'm not just gonna harp on me getting engaged as much as I want to. But no, I will save you guys all from that. But as you can imagine, it with everything going on, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. So we had the holidays, my first holidays without my dad. We had my engagement, obviously without my dad. And so it was very bittersweet. Obviously so fun and so exciting, but you can't help but think about, you know, who's missing. And I think for me, this took me a while to really kind of understand and grasp. I'm jumping right into it because for one of my projects in my classes, we had to talk about kind of our culture and then other people's cultures surrounding whatever topic we wanted, just in psychology. And originally I chose food because I always talk about food, but obviously, after everything happened, I thought it would be really good for me to kind of look at it, to look at grief. I am someone who, when I don't understand something or when something's too complicated for me, I want to understand. That's why for this paper, I decided to kind of change my topic to understanding grief from like so many different culture perspectives, including my own. And I found some really interesting stuff that I wanted to share that I think applies so much further than just grief. I think it applies to how we view emotions in general. I used this information just in recent events beyond my dad passing with friends or, you know, looking at past relationships with other people of how I approached these things and how maybe it wasn't serving me. So the main thing that my research showed was that actually Western cultures tend to view grief and grief therapy in kind of a backwards manner, where not, maybe not backwards, it's what you think would work, but it's actually ends up in the long run hurting people. So we have now viewed, and I think it took us a while to get to this point in general, we just kind of overcorrected, that when you lose someone, you should immediately start processing. You need to attack it head on, process it, don't hide from your emotions, feel all the feelings. And I think that that is still really important. You know, you don't want to completely ignore your feelings. But we take it to an extreme where it leads into more rumination. And what they're finding is this approach, because it leads to rumination, it ends up leading to what they call prolonged grief disorder. And it increases your likelihood to have this complex grief where you hold on to that pain for longer than what is expected, which for Western cultures is about a year, which I also didn't know. So that's, I'm managing my expectations on that, knowing that it's, you know, potentially we're going to get some ebbs and flows for a year. But the reason why, because I know what you guys are thinking, you know, isn't that kind of exactly opposite of what we're trying to embrace in this new era of mental health? You're supposed to embrace your emotions and your feelings. You're not supposed to just cover them up and hide them. And I think that's almost right. But here's where it gets complicated. One, grief is a unique emotion and a unique experience in that it's universal and inevitable. You can grieve far beyond losing someone, a transition in your life, a friendship, a relationship, a city. Maybe you moved and you're grieving, leaving a city, a phase in your life. You can grieve so many different things because grief is mourning the loss of something. Now, it started off with the loss of someone, but that can show itself and express itself in so many different ways. It doesn't have to just be someone died. In my case, yes, it was someone who died, but in learning this research, I realized that this can apply in so many other aspects of my life. For one, I struggled with an eating disorder and I struggled with OCD. So for me, letting go of these bad habits was a form of grief. I went through similar phases where, you know, I was angry, I was upset, I was at a loss for what to do. I felt confused. I felt totally like the rug was pulled from under me because I didn't know a life anymore without these bad behaviors. So I was mourning kind of the loss of these coping mechanisms. And it was a good loss, but it still hurt. And in losing my dad, it's obviously very different. It's still a loss. It's a bad loss. There's not good necessarily that comes from it other than knowing that he isn't in pain anymore from cancer. But it's a similar idea that I think can be expanded to many different scenarios. And The issue is with kind of this Western approach that I found in my study is that we think of it a bit too clear cut. And grief's messy. Because just like those examples I showed you, my eating disorder and my dad kind of grieving these two different things, they're completely different entities with completely different emotions. Grief is not one emotion. Grief is a million emotions at once. Because while you're grieving someone, while I'm grieving my dad, I'm also thinking about all of these memories and happy moments with him that I would have otherwise never thought of. If he was still alive, I wouldn't have regaled on countless memories. I honestly wouldn't have heard of stories that his friends are regaling on. So you're feeling a lot of emotions at once. And that's a lot to take in. And then you're also mourning the loss of them. You're navigating a change, which is really hard to do. And if you were to completely engulf yourself in the negative that you have to focus on, we're almost jumping to the conclusion that you have to be feeling pain. And I think especially for people that maybe it's a more complex loss, maybe they have a complicated relationship with the person that they lost. This can just cause even more struggles because maybe they are feeling a sense of relief. I think this is really, they express this as really common with actually a lot of cancer patients because it's really hard taking care of a family member or a loved one who has cancer and you have to watch them in pain. And their passing, though hard, is a sense of relief because you're not seeing them in pain anymore. And you're not having to care for them anymore. And you feel guilty that it makes your life easier. But it does. You're not constantly concerned for them. You do take a mental load off. And that makes you feel really shitty to admit to yourself. But it's true. And it doesn't mean at all that you love them any less. It's just that was the scenario you were put under. And to expect someone to only feel negative emotions while grieving. Again, remember, in Western cultures, it's normal for you to have acute grief for a year. A year. To expect someone to have only negative emotions and always, always, always be sad and missing the person that they've lost is so unreasonable, is so torturous, honestly. And it's not, I know, it's not what my dad would want for me at all. In fact, he probably has been up there being like, when the fuck is Ryan going to propose to Natalie? Just kind of as I was. Because we did get to actually ask for his permission before he passed. So he was probably like, get on with it. But that's kind of where I come full circle. Is we have this expectation for ourselves, especially when we're grieving or especially when bad things happen. And again, I'm using my example of grief, but that's only one part of it. I mean, people are going through the holidays and they're, you know, I shared with you, I had an eating disorder through many holidays. I had depression through many holidays. Or maybe just went through a breakup. I went through a breakup right before the holidays. It could be a million different things where you feel like you're supposed to be consistent in your emotions. And that's not life. Life is not one emotion at all times. It's a million emotions all at once and kind of fluttering about. I was talking with my mom because we were talking about these little synchronicities that we found when we were preparing for Christmas. Last year we had the most disastrous tree ever. It kept falling over, ornaments and all. My dad got like 18 different tree stands to try to make this tree stay. And we finally got it to like just barely stay. And this year we got the perfect tree, like truly the perfect tree. It was so, draw a Christmas tree and that was the tree and it was perfect. And we, you know, joke that my dad picked that out for us. I pulled out a hammer to use for crushing graham crackers, and it was actually a hammer. I didn't even know this existed. It was like a crab mallet, crab hammer that my aunt had gotten for him and wrote "Happy birthday, Jim," because we had a crab fest for one of his birthdays. Little things like that kind of kept popping up. Even on my engagement, I had gotten this really nice two-piece set for his funeral, and I spent a lot of money on it. And when I was putting away Christmas clothes, I saw it and I was like, all right, I need to either wear this or sell this because it's far too expensive for me to just have it stashed in the corner of my closet. And I have not thought about it, looked at it, anything since his funeral. And it just so happened that the night that I ended up getting engaged, I was wearing the jacket that I wore to his funeral. And it was like he was there with me. It was just so many little synchronicities that had I had this one track mind that I think I felt most comfortable having, that I needed to be sad, I needed to constantly miss him, I needed to constantly in mourning have these negative emotions. It's the first holiday without him. He is everything. He is the holidays. This, all of our traditions are based from his family that he took over. Had I gone into it with that mindset, which truthfully, if I hadn't done this project, if I hadn't learned about how other cultures viewed grieving, I would have. I don't know that I would have gotten through the holidays. I don't know that I would have fully enjoyed it. I don't know that I would even be able to admit that I enjoyed the holidays and that I enjoyed my engagement. I think I would be ashamed to admit that, because when bad things happen, you feel bad saying that you can still have good emotions. Or when you feel so consumed by negative emotions, you feel out of control when you suddenly feel good emotions. And all that does is keep you in the negative emotions. All that does is force you to sit in negative emotions. And to me, at first, I thought it was a way of respecting my dad. It would be disrespectful to not be crying all the time. It would be disrespectful to enjoy Christmas, even if he's not there. It would be disrespectful to enjoy my engagement, even if he didn't get to be a part of it. It would be disrespectful to him. But it's disrespectful to myself to take those experiences and those positive moments away from me. And it's not what he would want. I know it's not. But there's this weird guilt that we have associated with letting ourselves feel two emotions at once, two paradoxical emotions at that, and letting ourselves move on when we've lost someone or we've gone through some sort of change or some sort of loss where we feel like it's an attack on whatever it is, that person, the old town you used to live in, if we enjoy something new. And I lived that way for a while, and I think it's still something I'm going to struggle with to this day. It's this idea of allowing yourself to be fluid, allowing yourself to have an opinion, have an emotion, have a feeling the next day, the next hour, even maybe change it. Give yourself that flexibility. And I never liked that flexibility because it made me feel unpredictable. And there are so many unpredictable things happening. I couldn't also be an unpredictable person. I couldn't handle that. But it's made me miss out on so many positive emotions and positive experiences because I felt like if I was labeled by something negative around me, I had to stay and I had to be true to that experience. If I was viewed as having eating disorder or having depression or OCD, and then I didn't outwardly show that all the time, then suddenly, how are people going to view me? They're going to view me as confusing and complicated. If my dad recently passed and people see me having fun or having something positive in my life, getting engaged, then people are going to not take my pain seriously. People are not going to believe me when I say I'm still hurting. That's how I viewed it. And it's fucking bullshit, to be honest. Because that idea is so immature and so one track. The idea that you can't be going through a hard time and still smile or laugh is miserable. How do you go through life like that? How did I go through life like that? I did. I'm someone who I love embracing humor even amidst darkness. I think it's really helpful for me to embrace humor. And I think that's something that other people maybe don't agree with. Maybe they don't think dark things can be funny. To me, it's my only way of allowing myself to feel positive emotions. It had always been the only way I'd been able to have positive emotions around pain, because I only allowed it to be positive if it was funny. And now I'm realizing, like, yes, it was a coping skill and it was great, but I'm allowed to feel positive emotions that aren't just making fun of and making light of a negative experience. I'll still, use humor to get through things. I think it's a great coping skill. But it's not the only one. And it's not the only positive emotion that you're allowed to feel when you're going through a hard time. And I truly, truly thought that was the only acceptable emotion. And I think these past couple weeks between Christmas and now getting engaged, even among the loss of my dad, has really, really, really opened my eyes to a new way of approaching emotions that I wanted to share with you all. This idea and what the research shows is that it's actually more hurtful for you to stay in this rumination period. I view this with, you know, even small events like fights with friends or fights with family members. If you're constantly ruminating on it, you're not allowing yourself to even experience little happy moments that have nothing to do with that. You're focused so deeply on this negative that you can't let in any positive elsewhere. And that black and white thinking is so detrimental. If I am only allowing one pathway of emotions and I'm blocking out all of the other ones, then I have to stay stuck in negative, whether or not it has to do with my dad. Now I have to be in a negative mood. I have to be sad about everything because I'm not letting a tunnel open for any positive. Everything has to be tainted by negative. Even neutral things, even just getting up in the morning, that's neutral. And now it has to be negative because I'm supposed to be grieving. And it's really common in Western cultures because we view death as an end. We view death in this black and white way, especially I'm Catholic. And if your loved one that's lost is still showing up around you, you know, if you allow yourself to see these synchronicities and you feel like they're still with you, then that means that they're not in heaven. And that is not what you want for the person that you love. You want them to be in heaven. You want them to be with loved ones. But if you view it in a way that's a little bit more open, and this is not an attack on my religion at all, it's just a more flexible way of thinking that a lot of Eastern cultures and religions view death and view loss, that the loss is still part of us. The person that we lost is still here with us. All of those experiences and memories don't go away. They're helping you. They're guiding you. They're supposed to be remembered. It's not an all or nothing thing. And when you view it like that, you're allowed to turn down the volume on the grief one day, to turn up the volume on something else, because the grief might come back. It might turn up the volume later. You're not shutting it off. You're not unplugging it. You're just turning the volume down so that you can turn the volume up on something else. Viewing it in that more flexible way, in that more transitive way, opens up so much more possibility for positives. Viewing your emotions, any emotions, I'm talking about it in grief, but it's any emotion. Viewing it in a way that sometimes you can turn down the negative. Allow yourself, give yourself the blessing to turn down the negative. It doesn't mean it's gone. It doesn't mean that the pain's gone. You're not disrespecting or minimizing the pain that is there. It's still there. But it's just a little turned down so that you can turn up the volume on something else. So that something else can come clearer. Just in that moment. Just for a little moment, turn the volume up on something more positive. You're hearing both of them. Just one is louder than the other at different moments. You're feeling all of these emotions. Just at different moments, some of the emotions are going to feel stronger. But at all points of time, are you feeling emotions? All of the emotions. It's not an easy skill. And even after my engagement, I've had to remind myself, especially because I think people want to be helpful by bringing up the negative and acknowledging your feelings of negative. My mom got tons of calls on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning saying, like, I know this is going to be hard. When she said that that didn't really help her. She said, I don't need people to remind me that it's hard. And I'm thankful that they're validating that feeling. It really is. But I didn't need that in this moment, because in this moment, my positive emotions are up. I didn't want people to turn up the volume of my negative emotions. And I actually got a text a couple days later, after or a day or so after my engagement, or 2 days after, I don't know, acknowledging the feeling of this bittersweet emotion. And it was, I was so grateful for them, because they intentionally said that they wanted to wait to send me this text. Now, they had gone through a loss of their own, so I think they understood a bit about it. But they didn't want to turn up the volume of the negative in the moment. They knew the positive was so high. There was no need to turn up the negative in that moment. But 2 days later, when I'm still kind of, you know, I'm on the high, but I'm coming down, things are neutraling out. The volume on the positive is neutraling out. I did need that reminder that I didn't need to turn up the negative volume, that I was allowed to still be positive. And that doesn't minimize or negate the fact that I have bittersweet negative emotions and I'm sad that my dad wasn't there for this. I'm not erasing that by still being happy to be engaged. And I was so grateful for them. They made it clear they didn't want to text me this specific message even a day after the engagement. They wanted to wait. And it's the same for my mom. She was saying she was talking to one of her friends whose husband passed as well. And she was crying on Christmas, and her 6-year-old son said, "Mom, it's Christmas. He's out tomorrow." And she was like, "I feel like I should be fixing that type of behavior, that you're not supposed to just ignore negative emotions." But that's not what the 6-year-old was saying. He wasn't saying ignore your negative emotions. He was saying feel them. But right now, you have the opportunity to turn up the volume on positive emotions. So turn up the volume on those positive emotions. Give yourself the permission to turn up the volume. I think that's what I took away from this whole experience. My mom and I both, we talked about this a lot. Making the choice to turn up the volume on positive emotions is not ignoring your negative emotions. You're not shoving it away. You're giving yourself the chance to turn up the volume on negative emotions later. But you're not missing out on the opportunities and life that can give you positives. And that's the key takeaway that I really took from these past couple weeks, is just you need to be aware of those moments that you can turn up the volume on positive, even when you feel so overconsumed by negative, which I have for sure. It's literally just what that 6-year-old boy said. Like, "Mom, it's Christmas. You can be sad tomorrow." And I'm sure he said it so matter-of-factly that, like, you have to just laugh because he's a 6-year-old. But my mom and I both held so closely to that phrase of just, it's a positive moment. I can be sad tomorrow. I'm allowed to be sad tomorrow, even if I'm positive today. But right now I have the chance to be positive. So why would I throw that away? I know I jumped so deep in and just so quickly into emotion and deep stuff and my research and everything. And truly, I mean, we had so many positives from this Christmas. Two of my cousins were pregnant. Another cousin we just found out was pregnant. I recently just got engaged. I'm still, it doesn't even feel real. I feel like I'm literally playing dress up. I'm like playing Pretty Pretty Princess for anyone who remembers that game. But I hope you guys had such a wonderful holiday break, and there's still more holiday to come, at least for me. Right now, I'm recording this on New Year's Eve. Hopefully I feel better by tonight. But it's a new year. This is a good opportunity to just practice these new skills. And I hope that even no matter what it is, there's so many ways that you can allow yourself to, you know, have a blue Christmas, have a different holiday that's maybe not all positive, whatever it is. Sometimes for people, just getting together with family for that long can, you know, be a lot. But I hope that you allowed yourself to take time to recharge. You worked in some time to not drain out all of your batteries so you could still enjoy and embrace the positive moments. I know I feel so lucky that I did that. Not well at all times. I still did get sick, but I was still having fun and enjoying it and allowing myself to just fully dive in to the big Christmas spirit, the holiday spirit as well. And now the engaged fiance experience. At least just staring at it. I literally just got distracted by it. And then maybe in a month I'll start actually planning and doing bridal things. But for now, I'm just going to keep staring at it and smiling. Because what else are you supposed to do? I don't know. That's like half the point of getting engaged, isn't it? But anyways, at this point, no, I'm just rambling. I've missed you guys. I really appreciate you guys being flexible as kind of, you know, I'm navigating this podcast in addition to my own mental and now physical health. But I love, love, love hearing from you guys and getting your opinions on things that I'm talking about, if they resonate, if they feel good to you, or if maybe there's something that I've missed or something that you want me to talk about, I would love to hear that as well. So as always, remember to follow on Instagram and on TikTok at Not So Nice Girl Pod, and stay tuned for lots more to come in the new year. Next, we will be talking about my hatred for New Year's resolutions, actually. So definitely stay tuned for that. It's a fun one. It'll be fun. But with that, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.